Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Anvil. And we have one of my good friends, Nate Summers, Forge and Fire champion, awesome bladesmith, excellent social media marketer. I just, watch his videos and goes, God, I really need to do that. So enough of me yakking. Let's start the egg timer. And Nate, take it away. Introduce yourself. Tell us how you got into everything and your background.
For sure. So I'm Nate. My name is my full name, Nate Summers, and social media handle is Nate the Blade Maker. I've been making knives for a long time. And what got me into it, I've always been a kid who just loved to make things. I take my toys apart to figure out how they worked, emulate things I'd see on TV or hear about in stories and books. Build bow and arrows out of tree branches and string, or try to start a fire by rubbing two sticks together, things like that.
Which is not
And
easy, by the way.
most I think there's a kind of kid that is like that, and I was definitely just one of those kids. What hooked me into knife making in particular, I have a very particular story about it. When I was 10, I had flattened an old ta junk table leg, just a metal tube. I'd flattened it on the steps using a framing hammer, and then I had sharpened it using a file to the point that I was able to cut some rope. And it was a
Right.
very powerful moment. You think about a kid at 10 years old, about something becoming not a toy. It was a real thing. Yeah, after pretending for whole childhood to do something, about then finally succeeding at it, just like, oh my gosh, at the sense of discovering something, almost like this. I need to be extra careful, responsible. Like I've unlocked this power. But from I
With
mean from there,
great power comes great responsibility.
with great power comes great responsibility. I mean, even kids sense that. Like, that's something if I told my parents about or showed them, they probably would have said no.
Well,
So,
I didn't have that. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
yeah.
I didn't have that. I grew up in the world of bladesmithing. Dad started about the time he had an interest in it long before I was born, but he started about a year before I was born.
Okay.
So I grew up around, I've been kind of spoiled. I was kind of naive that I thought everybody had a shop like my dad's, growing up. I
Yeah.
started forging when I was four, building my own forges on and off from there, burning everything up. Started really making knives and been making steel about 9, 10 years old. So flash forward 30 years later. But anyway, back to you, Nate.
That's an amazing story. Because you're I'll be turning 40 this coming January. You're about how old?
I turned 40 last June. I thought you were older than me, to be honest with you. No offense, no
No,
offense.
no, no.
I believe if I may remember correctly, you are a veteran, correct?
No, sir. No,
No, I thought
no.
you were. For
Oh,
some
no.
reason. See what happens when I'm left unattended and get my own thinking.
No, if anybody's ever gotten that impression, then I apologize. Like that's
That's
like
my
that.
fault. I will take full credit for that.
I'm not a veteran. I'm a friend of a great many veterans.
Yes.
My work history is I worked in a hospital as a security guard for a long time.
That's what it was. That's
Yeah,
right.
for 13 years, I worked private security for St. Mark's Hospital over here in Mill Creek, Salt Lake City. That was a job I got, kind of not too long after high school. My brother got me into it, and because he was working there at the time, and it paid. First job like right out of high school is just something that's like, wow, I've actually got some money, and it lets me go to work and then get off of work and do whatever I want. And it kind of evolved into like, well, no, it kind of became a very small full-time job that I could support myself while I pursued whatever else I wanted to do. I spent all that time, bladesmithing and reading books and just in pursuit. I have a that's the kind I have a creative person's brain. I'm kind of obsessed with my own ideas, things I want to chase, and that was really as that's what I spent my time doing. That all that coalesced into an ambition. I got my son here, one second. Hey, I'm on
That's all right. Bring him on in here. Let's say hi.
USA Hi. If you ever seen the
Hi, bud.
video of me cutting a carrot and somebody in the background going, oh, that was this guy.
All
He
right,
is the guy that
the
made that
shirt
video
man.
extremely popular.
Are we looking at a second generation bladesmith right there, bud?
This guy, I don't think so. He might be a second generation YouTuber though.
Oh, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you
Yeah.
keep dad in line. I mean, I got my daughter kind of after we do this, she builds a thumbnail. She's like, "I'll do the YouTube stuff. Get out of the way. You're
Yeah,
old. You're like, I'm
you're
older
gonna
than YouTube."
fat finger it or something like that. Yeah, he when I try to help him out with his projects, he complained if I break them. but
Is that true,
this
bud?
guy's real savvy with his tech stuff. And I think he understands how that world works very well. He notices the details that like when videos are made and everything. So he's gonna be who I'm leaning on
Awesome.
as I give the it's number two son of mine that I expect that he's a very hands-on guy.
Well, there you go. Hey, we
Yeah,
got to have our tech buddies in the world and keep it up there, bud. Can't wait to see your work.
Yeah. Hey, you want to go chill with your brother in there? He's just playing with that thing we got him. Thanks, man.
Hashtag dad moment. Oh, real quick, while we're talking about being dad and our kids, give us your best dad joke.
What's brown and sticky?
I don't know.
A stick.
Oh, my daughter, I was kind of trying to get people to kind of Facebook, communicate and then put on there. Give us your best dad joke. My daughter goes, "When does a dad joke become a dad?" And then the reply back was, "When it leaves for the milk." I have a teenager. Yeah, dark humor in this family. Seriously. Anyway.
Well, with our boys, will get into the dark humor. They can't not. My wife is a nurse, and she doesn't dole down her sense of humor. She doesn't dole
Oh,
down her yeah. Like when she
yeah.
gets home, it's like you will not believe what we had to do today.
Oh, I imagine. I lived in Primary Children's Hospital for about 2 months with my middle child, who passed away 16 years ago. I know we kind of talked about that years ago. So yes, talking with someone, asking them, "Hey, how do you deal with this? Is we just got to have a hint of humor, a lot of stuff." I mean, and they got to take their break and everything. So dark humor a lot. This is helps us. This is, and I have friends that are nurses, so that I can understand what your wife. Yes.
Yeah. See, that's just part of the world. It's something that kids and family that are around her, like you won't be ignorant of this part of the world. What can I say?
Yeah.
This just was something you'll be in touch with, and that's okay. It'll in the end, it'll be part of your education.
Yes.
And whether or not you attend school and pursue the path of it, it's something that you'll at least be familiar with and may not be so uncomfortable with, which I think is a good thing.
So, besides that, you're being your first knife you made, what is your actual first blade from forging or stock removal? You do, it seems like you do both to me, is on
Yeah,
your
I kind of do.
bladesmithing.
I try to be multi-tiered. I try to be versatile. That is a very important value of mine. Because I think that I became obsessed with systems with a holistic approach. Oh, see, I got my younger
Dad
one.
moment. Hold on, folks. We got to be
Sad
parents for a
moment.
second.
What is sonny boy? Hey, go get Samuel. He's here. You can get you a creamy. Get a banana creamy.
Ooh,
Go
that
ask
sounds
Sam.
delicious. What is a banana
It's
creamy? That sounds
a
delicious.
banana flavored popsicle, basically. It's kind of like it's made from ice cream. It's not like an Otter Pop where it's basically frozen Kool-Aid. So if I need to grease some palms,
Hey, there you
that's
go.
where it's
There you go.
available.
I like this.
This is
Dad
really just dad
moment.
advice, isn't it?
Hashtag dad advice moment. We call these our squirrel moments, folks. Like I said, I just started this podcast. This is something else I want to do. I've come. We'll get back to like let's get we'll get back to your first knife more professionally made. Got a thought here. What
Yeah.
have you done to you? The reason why I started this podcast is maker burnout. What have you done to over the years to help get through that
Okay.
maker burnout?
Okay. I recommend everybody Google search Deep Work by Cal Newport. I really, when I first got started into business, I happened upon that. What I recommend you listen to is there's an 8-minute summary of the book out there. And I think I got more out of that summary than I did by going through the entire book. To surmise it, he what Cal, who is a computer scientist, stresses is that knowledge work, the work that requires deep distraction-free focus, is a limited thing within your day. It's actually more limited than your physical ability. And as a maker and as a businessman and as a family man, the first thing I prioritize in any day is knowing when it's when, like what today is going to require distraction-free focus. That is the thing that I protect and provide space for. A schedule revolves around that because that's going to be the make or break thing for the day. There you go. That's the right one. Banana creamy. Go for it. So I said distraction-free focus.
Hey,
Now
not a
that's
problem. I'm actually taking notes so I can use ChatGPT because I'm ADHD and I have
yeah.
all the ideas. I have all the ideas. It's just trying to get out the know-how into word form.
Now,
It's just a
what I want to stress about this point is that Cal Newport in that book is specifically talking about knowledge workers in an increasingly distracted environment involving social media. How do you do thought work when in today's digital age? Because it's very, very, he highlights how difficult it is to do with iPhones and with iPads and absorbing information through digital mediums. And I want to contrast to that, we are hands-on people, we're makers, creators, we're working with our hands a bunch. Well, the point that I want to make is that at some given point, you are having to do distraction focus if you want to do good work.
Yes.
Distraction-free focus if you want to do good work. And you can't sustain it for very long. And you really don't even need all that much of it. You just need enough to make sure that you have made decisions where decisions need to be made. And then you're not thinking about them past the point. That leads to burnout more than physical labor.
Yeah.
Same thing with tedium. Tedium will drain your cognitive ability. So if you structure tedium so that you're not bored with it, you'll have an easier time. And then it's really helpful to then just prioritize and make decisions about what can you do, what you there's what things you'd like to do, the stuff we'd all like to do, and ex steering away from perfectionism. I tell all new people, or I tell all makers, especially beginners, if they're trying to get into being a maker of any kind, if they're trying to get into knife making, bladesmithing, I say it's far more important that you complete your work than it is you perfect your work. Accept
Correct.
deadline accept deadlines, accept your imperfections. You can infinitely say, I'll do better next time. But you, yeah.
I like how you bring that up. One of the best advice, Dad says, hey, bigger the scrap pile, the better you're going to be. You are going to make mistakes, and that's okay. Now, with me, I've gotten so far and finding that professionalism is,
Yeah.
it literally taken me 6 years to complete the Sword of Valor that you've probably seen pictures of. I'll have to send you a picture of it when I get it. It's
Yeah.
almost completely done. Well, my
Yeah.
end's done. We're doing some laser work on it and everything else. I changed things upside down. I'm trying to ask other anchors advice. Ooh, hey, that looks yummy, bud. Hi, how are you? Squirrel moment. So,
Both boys look just like me, apparently.
well,
Can I be on
I could be rude and say, well, at least I don't look like the milkman. Sorry.
the but please continue. Yeah.
Back to our the we skipped over the very first. What was about the very first knife you sold, and how did that make you feel?
Very first knife I sold, I have a very distinct memory of this. It made a little boot knife, a dagger. It was, do you know the steel that you use to in chain link fences, right up next to the
Yes.
post, there's maybe like a half inch by quarter inch kind of strip of steel that you
Yes.
put in. I had forged it out of that, This was back when I didn't even understand how to properly build a forge. I used to use a hair dryer on top of the fire and hold the steel next to the hot part. I sold it for $40
Awesome.
to an older to a kid who is maybe 5, 6 years older than me. I think he was in church at the time. It was a custom order. He's like, this is what I want. Can you make this for me? Because he's just giving me a chance. And that was the same level of hook for me that making the first very first thing sharp was. Like, I just did something for real. It wasn't Monopoly money he was offering. It's like I actually made some money. That bit me very, very hard. That was a I could do, could I just keep doing that and making money? I think I was probably somewhere around 13 or 14 years old at the time.
That's about what time I started doing knife shows, about 13, after 2 or 3 years of building knives, giving some to friends, selling it. I sold a few. I think what really got me hooked after it was after doing my first knife show in St. George, Utah at the Dixie Center. And it's like, you know what, for me, it's at that age, the money, it's more about the money that you, because we're all, you got money, you can go buy, hey, I can buy that soda pop.
Holy,
Just.
yeah.
But as I got older and everything else, and then people start realizing people are really appreciated your artistry and giving you that money. It was that too. So now, fast forward to now, it's awesome because I can make a knife, I can sell it. I'm doing a lot better when I did a long time ago. Believe me, I could find all my knives when I first started to find those and bury them in the deepest closet because God, I've seen a few of them. It's like, good Lord. But for me, it's like, how awesome is I can take this raw material, turn it out, and it's something that's going to be part of me. It's going to be around for a long time if they take good care of it, pass it down to somebody else, and I can take care of stuff. I can take care of my kid. I can take buy groceries on buy stuff I did with my hands, and for me and my family, not somebody else. And I did a lot of stuff through high school, and I got a truck, and a lot of my money went into that. I used to go to Vegas to shows. My biggest show down in Vegas in the late 90s, early 2000s, I made 8 grand on a weekend as a 15-year-old. For a 15-year-old. So, yeah. But again, I kind of was able to stand on some shoulders from dad, and his network of back then, the network was a little different. He learned from Buster Warnsky and Jim Mantz, and he learned how to make Damascus from Bill Moran. Well, we all know who Bill Moran is. He's the guy who started American Bladesmith Society and the Bill Moran School. So that's kind of where I come from.
That's like having credentials that go all the way to the top.
Right?
Yeah, that's a pretty amazing legacy that he's got. I do respect, like, if the journey of 1,000 miles,
Begins with a single step.
begins a single step, and that part of what makes a journey amazing is looking back to see where it came from, where it started, and the people who do have, it's like, I learned this from this guy, and who learned this from this guy. It's amazing how far back we, if we touch hands with our family or our neighbors, it was how far back in history everything can stretch,
Right.
and how far an influence or a skill can go. That's a pretty amazing, pretty amazing credit. My instructional history, because from ages 10 to 15 was all self, just exploring it. I had a couple of books. It took off at 14 when I got The Art of Blacksmithing by Alex Buehler. And I studied that book and started to actually turn out some, that took a great leap forward. And then when I met Jared Williams, who's been a lifelong friend of mine, he's like an older brother to me. Jared was my first. He'd been making knives for 15 years. He's also a fellow Forge and Fire winner. He was season 3, episode 6. He made the Hungamonga.
And also, Nate Summer is a Forge and Fire champion. Forgot to mention that. And we'll dive into that here in a little bit. But back to your.
So, he was the first person that I ever met that made knives, that also made knives, and he'd been doing it for a long time. And he had a lot more skill under his belt. He was a lifelong craftsman at a and still is. So he is first person to kind of take me under his wing and point out, like, here's what you're doing very well, here's what you're doing wrong, like, here's how to fix it, and here's some other resources. Introduced me to, the magazines that hold the information, maybe aware of American Bladesmith Society. When I graduated high school, going to American Bladesmith Society was the first thing I did. First thing I paid for myself was some money from jobs. I went and took Introductory to Bladesmithing from Kevin Cashin and Dickie Robinson. And then 4 years later, I went and took the Damascus making course from Jerry Larson from in Arkansas. And I passed my journeymansmith, the performance test. But at the time, being very young, the idea of traveling to Atlanta and entering the show and getting a table and making knives to submit to judges just seemed like a feat. Like, that's the stuff that making knives, I had pretty well under control, but logistics of travel and all that kind of stuff like that, it's just like, I don't know what to do. I didn't know anybody else to talk to. It wasn't a well formalized system, I felt. Like,
You kind of just,
it was kind
you
of like,
know,
show up with five knives and we'll
yeah.
see how you
Hey,
do.
that's all that matters. You mean show up, just wing it. Don't, like that's what I do a lot of time with my shows. I was like Texas Select, like, hey, I'm gonna go Texas Select within, going, oh, 2 months. And of course, me, I go, I the 1 year, the first year we went down there, I decided I'm gonna do 30 knives. I ended up finishing 50 knives of all different layers. And thank God for, Daisy helped a little bit, but shout out to Sam, Sam Squatch Forge. Oh, you've met Sam, big tall guy. He was at the Blade Show when we did Blade Show Salt Lake. He's the big tall guy you see in the video sometimes. We call him Princess Sam. Sorry, Sam, I had to, you should never have pulled that joke on me. You're going to be labeled Princess forever now. Joke, I'll tell, we'll get into that another time. We got about 13 minutes here left on the clock.
Oh,
I
yeah.
believe that's about even with that. We kind of keep these short. And well,
Yeah.
eventually, I want to get these a little bit longer, but you got to be dad too and everything else. You're
Oh,
going
yeah.
home.
We could talk about that. That burnout navigating family while navigating business in the garage is the hardest thing I've ever done.
Yes. One of these days, we need to get together. If I'm ever up in the area, I'll drop you a line, see if we come visit. Don't want to intrude.
Welcome. You be welcome. You
Be
let me know.
awesome to sit and watch and learn. I don't deal with a lot of stainless other than bolsters. But let's touch in on for you. You mentioned Forge and Fire. You mentioned our mutual friend, awesome guy. So you Forge and Fire finalized. What was your first episode?
First episode was season 4, episode 17, called The Kapinga.
That's right.
And that was back, we filmed that in the spring of 2017. It aired in September of 2017, if I remember
That's
correctly.
all right.
And I won, which was great. I went against Jim Poor and Richard Epting and John. I can't remember John's last name. I think it was Nelson. It was great. I had Jim's knife not broken. I don't think I would have gone on to the final round, but
I watched that. I'm like, because that was neck and neck.
it was neck and neck. It was very just go get one. Go on. So
But
that
Dad,
was
you got your attention somewhere else, Dad. Squirrel
yeah.
moment, squirrel dad moment.
It yeah, like why oh yeah. Go ask Samuel for help. Okay.
I swear,
So
hold on 1 second. That's one thing about having kids, folks. If you don't have kids, when you're doing something or you're on the phone or something, they gotta be, hey, I'm not the world right now. Come here, let me get in this, which is cool. They're trying to be involved. So anyway, back to it, mate.
this recent episode. Okay. You go ask Sam. Go ask Samuel. Cookie. Yeah, we gotta go ask Sam. Thank
Hey, I
you.
want a cookie too. I want chocolate chip.
Well, I got my his older brother old enough to kind of help out with that stuff now. Mom's at work.
Some boys are
And
growing
if I
so damn fast.
if
I watch
I
them grow through Facebook, folks, or because we're friends, and they've just grown. It's wow. I feel old now.
The next episode of Forge and Fire that I have been on, I won't give. I'll go ahead and withhold a few spoilers because
Spoiler alert!
I want everybody to spoiler alert, an episode I filmed several years ago has finally come out. And it's a really good one, so I recommend you go watch it. It's
Season
season
10, episode 18.
18, the Champions Cup. And we filmed this in spring of 2022. And that's an NDA, so I've had to keep it under wraps for 3.5 years.
Okay, I had to do 3 months, and that was scrutiny enough. Thinking about doing that for 3.5 years, like, oh, I knew something was going up back then because you completely disappeared from social media for a couple of weeks. I'm like, I know where he's at. I'm
On
pretty
and
sure I know where he's at. So.
then and then there was a series of, well, I mean, that was very, very tough. I have to admit that that was very tough to do, knowing that at the time I had filmed it, I had some momentum that I was trying to keep going within business. At the time, there's a persona, and there is a for creative types, momentum is very, very helpful. And I was kind of counting on that show to come out and kind of carry over what I was already up to. But as time went by, I was like, no, it's not coming out anytime soon. I can't line up plans to capitalize on the show airing. And after enough time passing, just gave up on the whole thing altogether. It's just like, I love Forge and Fire.
Yes.
Absolutely loved it. It was a fantastic time. But there's really only so much I can do with the format that,
Right.
I have my own. I'll do my own stuff on social media, and when it comes out, I'll be like, "Hey, great! You go check this out." As far as trying to line up like a product drop with the episode emerging, stuff like that, I would discourage people from don't count on that. It's not going to work in your favor, and rightly so, because they can't provide everybody with an equal opportunity to do that.
No.
They're doing plenty for you. It's a shout out. You get your name, and you're on
You
TV.
know, your episode, my episode, I was told, viewed like 2.8 million opening thing. There's no way I could afford in the next 20 years to get that kind of viewership, at
Right.
once.
And you
So.
can't get it. Yeah. And you can't get, social media viewership is not the same as TV viewership. It's a totally different demographic. It's a totally different media platform. One I have zero control over, so I'll take what I can get.
Hey, it was fun. I had fun. I was scared shitless because, before that, I would never stick my neck out in, a school play. Tried that, bowed out before the thing, get up
Oof.
front of the class. No, thank you. Now it's like, and I still struggle with getting in front of the camera and everything else. And you got that charisma, that beautiful beard, Yes, we're going to go a little weird with the beardness here. He's got that gray, but it's not near as good as mine. Sorry, Nate. Just had to throw that out there.
I mean, it's dyed gray. I'm trying to copy you.
Yeah, mine's all natural. I mean, if I go any more wider, I'm just gonna go back to my natural color as a towhead when I was a kid, literally white. But back to, I guess that's cool. We got a new episode. Get out there and watch that season 10, episode 18, the what cup?
The Champions Cup.
Champions Cup. We're gonna be winding down. We're down on 10 minutes here, bud, so we're on the clock. So we can do another episode of this real quick. What is the type of steel do you like to use the most?
Ooh, that's a good question. I've already mentioned, being a valuing versatility. I pride that I have a couple different steels that I can go to, and I would have to narrow down for I you'd say if I if it was a customer asking, I said we have to narrow down the project for me to answer well. But as far as forging goes. I don't think you can get wrong with ADC or V2. It is if ADC or V2 replaced 5160 for me.
I've tried it and it feels similar to 5160, but it feels so, sorry, so good. It's just kind of weird.
I thought for a steel goes that it forges as easily as 5160 or any of the lower carbon steels like that you find in blacksmithing. It's a steel. It's very forging friendly, and whatever knife you make out of it has just enough to it that you can make a knife with a very sharp edge. It'll hold a very sharp edge. So it's the everyman steel.
Nice.
As far as if you're going to make a bladesmithing project, you can't go wrong with ADC-RB2. It's
Okay.
easy to heat treat, it's easy to work, and it will make a dependable
Long lasting knife.
yeah.
And we like we touched earlier. Now I've said you said you were not only a forger, but you're also stock removal. Mainly my whole life I've been more forging because I made Damascus. And when you make Damascus, that's a lot of intensive work, as you know.
Oh.
I used to do 600 layer plus Damascus. So I'd forge every piece to almost shape. And I always thought that, stock removal, even though there's a lot of guys out there with major names that done stock removal, I used to just be kind of be facetious and say, stock removal is just a dirty word of bladesmithing because I figured so forge part was more superior to stock removal, but I just, me being a smart ass.
I think that both you and I can remember an era when it was still like, you think of like martial arts movies where all styles are against each other except their own style.
Yes.
It's like, what style of kung fu did you practice? It's like, well, I got the squirrel style and it's the best.
Yeah, we're now we're dating ourselves, you Karate Kid and and here's a fun thing though, and I'll have to get you introduced to him. Sean King played Mike Barnes in Karate Kid 3. I'm friends with him and I made him a knife here a while back. So shout out
That's
to Sean
cool.
King.
That's really cool. Yeah. Well, I remember at the time it was still very much you had different camps and they stayed within camps and everybody that wasn't part of your camp was an enemy. And these days it's much more mix and match and share and who can we be friends with? The people who are still kind of like that. I got my own elite club. I don't know. They just tend to be very hard to get information from, or they tend to be hard to work with or get along with. I love exchanging knowledge. I love working with different things, and I love mixing with people who are willing to mix and share. Hey,
Dad moment, folks. We are being dad
we got
moment.
another one. I love those. Those are so cool. Those are the monster trucks.
Ooh, monster trucks. Somebody say monster trucks.
Somebody did say monster trucks.
Hashtag monster truck.
But yeah, it's almost a book. Can I see one of the monster trucks? Will you show me?
What?
He's thinking about it. He just wanted to talk about the monster trucks. He doesn't want me touching the monster trucks.
Well, of
But this
course not. That's my monster truck, Dad. I'm
the
sure
one
it's
I
yours.
see. This is the dinosaur one. Oh, I couldn't.
Ooh.
And this is his favorite. This is his most important, wouldn't you say? Would you go put that in the bathtub? It's a good idea. Liam,
Hashtag being
the ball
parent.
in the bathtub. Put him in the
Adulting.
bathtub. Go for it.
Okay.
I
This
guess
is
it's
awesome. I
still a
love
good idea.
this behind the anvil, folks. So this is what we do. This is us behind the anvil.
Now, we were talking before I talked about sharing knowledge, makers share other knowledge with each other. What were we, why did we bring that up?
I talk about difference of making fun of stock removers and
Oh,
forgers.
so okay. So along those lines,
2 minutes.
when I when I became a business, I realized I had to spend more time studying customers and clients and making for a while we're all just making knives kind of for each other. It's like, I made this, what do you think of this? And it's like, well, I made this, what do you think of that? This is how I did it. And getting into business had to be make me had to liberate my biases a little bit more. Like, there's all kinds of ways to make something.
Yes.
And I really,
And
at heart, I'm a maker. I'm not an adherer to any one way of doing something. I just like, how do you make anything? And rather than applying a superior, inferior label to things, I just try to say, like, you can make anything you want, however you want. The golden rule is don't say it's something that it isn't.
yes.
I don't make a stock removal knife and say it's a forged knife. I don't make
True.
a, that is
Code of
the only.
conduct, a bladesmithing. That's one thing that's kind of nice about the Forge and Fire alumni, as we've dubbed ourselves. You see it every now and then, especially in the early days of the show. The judges are kind of, and they kind of come from the land of makers, where it's kind of hard to share stuff, and then you get critique, and they have that little awesome big words, folks. Big words. We're using big words here. Awesomality, and wow, screw up. I'm not even going to try to say the word. So that's kind of like, wow, these guys kind of work. They're competing against their Yes, we competed against each other, but we're there to work together, kind of push each other forward a little bit and still try to, beat us in the end. But that's one thing I like about the Forge and Fire family, and which it is a family, a brotherhood, sisterhood, we've of all levels. And we tend to police each other and all that. So we're gonna wrap this thing up here. We got a couple minutes left on the clock. Any words of wisdom, dad joke, for people that's in that, we've talked about Maker's Burnout and everything else. And
Banker's burnout, I'm very passionate about. I do because I've been there. The worst burnout I experienced was when a customer broke something I made, and it was a high profile customer.
yes.
Even family, I think family can stress just as much as anything else, yes, but I have influence on them every single day. They're at arm's reach every single day. We can work through stuff, we can fix stuff. Once you send something out there into the world and a customer is dissatisfied with it, that's worse.
Yes. And I think you said something a while back about that high profile, and I think I know who that is. We won't say, but
And
yeah,
this
that's
must be.
gotta be like, you're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I've been there, done that. So I understand that.
It will forever impact how I do things, what I say, what I choose to do, like sensibility, stuff like that. Yeah, you don't really. We do better next time. I'm anti-perfectionism. It's like complete it,
Yes.
learn from it,
Well,
move on.
we're gonna walk this out. We're down to about a minute here, bud. Sorry, that went fast. Where can
Hope
people find you
we
to
can do this
purchase this?
again. We can do this again anytime.
Yes,
This is
we
awesome.
will. Matter of fact, we'll do an episode two. But real quick, where can people find your work, purchase you, contact you for a custom order?
My website has a store, natethebladesmaker.com, and I have both stock removal items. I have stocked items where I make something very affordable that anybody can use, and I also have occasional drops of customs. If you want to talk to me, the best place is Instagram, Nate the Blade Maker. Reach out to me over Messenger.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank Nagy. Appreciate it. We've been talking about this for a little while. I tried not to bug you, but I'm still going to drill over all your social media awesome videos you've been doing. You've been doing great.
Thank
Makes
you.
me want to push forward and everything else. So thanks, folks, for joining us behind the anvil. Please check out Nate's website. Check us all out. Check out his episode of Forge and Fire at season 10, episode 18. Thanks for joining us, and stay